Good afternoon. Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Let's go to line number two from Washington is Mr. Ed Witkin of the Transportation Trades Department and the AFL-CIO, TTD.org is their website. Hey, Ed, welcome back to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Glad to be back.
Good. Spending a lot of time on this, the findings that you sent me regarding, this is the National Transportation Safety Board, on the Tracy Morgan crash. And the sad part about this story, Tracy Morgan, comedian, almost died in an accident. And we suspected this right from the get-go, that the driver was on the road way too... How many hours was he on the road? What was that again?
Well, they're still investigating a little bit, but basically he was near the end of his shift when this happened. So he was hitting his near his 14th hour. And then what the report found that was startling is that the guy had driven 12 hours in his personal vehicle from Georgia to Delaware to begin a shift. So basically, you know, while I don't want to say that I know definitively he didn't take a nap or anything somewhere in between, there's really not much time to account for that. He really was up for a little over 24 hours when the accident occurred.
Wow.
So, it's a crisis all over the transportation
system,
in particular our highways, yeah.
Now, he was driving a semi-trailer operated by Walmart Transportation, LLC. Now, is this part of Walmart? Is this a subdivision of them?
Yeah, this is basically their trucking operation. The corporate structure, you know, I'm sure has some business firewalls, but it's Walmart's trucking company. And, we're all really shocked to learn that they might push their drivers a little too hard and not compensate them enough, which I think is the truth there. And the other thing that I think can't be lost is that, you know, Walmart basically has said it doesn't really have a fatigue management plan. It quote, informs their drivers of their responsibilities. But the only way to get at this stuff is to declare it a real problem and then have a program designed to keep tired drivers off the roads. And clearly, from everything I've read, I don't see that at Walmart right now.
And it's amazing when you look at the numbers, nearly 4,000 people lose their lives every year in crashes involving large trucks and tired drivers. So,
right.
I mean, this is an epidemic in the industry right now.
It is. And the thing that's lost in this discussion, and I said this in a blog, is that, you know, unfortunately, Tracy Morgan hasn't fully recovered. And God help us if he doesn't, because obviously it's his career and he's obviously a very popular comedian. Obviously another comedian was killed in the crash. But what's missing in this discussion is the fact that we have a lot of tired drivers behind the wheel of buses, too. And that's what Larry Hanley, who's the leader on that issue for us, the president of the ATU, talked about. We've been trying for many months. In fact, we're into years now to fix a Fair Labor Standards Act problem. The Fair Labor Standards Act, you know, governs overtime pay after 40 hours. And it doesn't apply to bus drivers. So it's a built-in incentive for drivers to drive too long, hold second and third jobs. And Larry's been quite eloquent on this issue because, you know, he represents Greyhound drivers.
Sure.
And others in the industry. But it's a chronic problem that isn't being addressed. Although there are some politicians trying to address the issue, and the way they're doing it is they're trying to actually roll back some fatigue requirements in federal rules. I know you're shocked to hear
what,
that.
What, wait. They're going in the wrong direction then.
You got it, man. Yeah, and you wonder why, again, as I always say on the air with you, that Congress routinely polls in the single digits.
Yeah.
It's because they're not addressing problems, and when they do, they're not doing a very good job of it.
No. So, well, they got their head in the sand on this one.
Yeah, and, you know, this is one of those issues among many that is very bipartisan, right? We all drive on highways. We all have tired drivers around us. We all see long-haul trucks and buses around us. And
Yeah. Why
wouldn't anybody want to try to deal with this? Well, the trucking industry has done a pretty good job of sort of snowing politicians into believing everything's fine. And it's not fine. There's just too many tired drivers out there.
So they got good lobbyists in Washington then.
Always have, yeah. And, you know, they're an important part of the economy. Obviously, they move our goods. And, you know, so they're intertwined in the discussions about the economy. But, you know, you can have a robust transportation system that produces and delivers in our economy without making it unsafe for the public. I mean, the two are not incompatible, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we still have this problem. And, you know, we'll talk about it another time, but this is a product of the fact that we deregulated the industry in the 70s.
Right.
Which means we now don't do a very good job of regulating it, right? When you take the role of government virtually out of it, this is what you get. You get just a lot of poorly regulated, poorly capitalized companies out there that don't train their workers, force them to work too long behind the wheel to try to earn a living, and you get this.
Yeah. Now, you know, when they deregulated the industry, is that when the hours of operation, when you had to be behind the wheel, is that when it expanded?
Well, I'll tell you what happened is because deregulation spawned the entry of so many participants in the industry that it became so cutthroat that it became impossible for anyone to actually earn a living as a truck driver or, in this case, to be a bus driver because they were ratcheting down the costs and the labor rates. So what it is when you create a deregulated environment where the wages keep dropping lower and lower, you end up creating this environment where everyone has to be on the road as much as possible just to make it financially.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it produced. It produced that environment. And by the way, that is indisputable. Every analyst, every expert that's looked at it has concluded that one of the big byproducts of deregulation was what we have today.
Yeah. And deregulation has done that in every industry. I could speak from broadcasting. I mean,
absolutely. They always dumbed down labor standards.
Yeah.
And they always built in these perverse incentives to make people work on the cheap. And when you're in a safety-sensitive industry like bus transportation, when you're forced to work on the cheap, work too long hours, possibly hold a second or third job, you get tired people behind the wheel.
Right.
You get what happened here. This
exactly.
just became a symbol of a larger problem.
And right now, Congress is not doing anything. In fact, like you said, they're going in the opposite direction.
Yeah, they've been lobbying the other way, trying to stop the DOT from implementing fatigue rules. And meanwhile, we can't get enough traction on trying to get this bus problem fixed, which one of the main fixes would be to amend the Fair Labor Standards Act and give bus drivers the same overtime pay that most workers in the economy get.
Right. Let's talk about the surface transportation bill now. Every time we talk about this, it's patchwork. Where are we good now? Are we good to the end of the year now or what?
Well, they've got to deal with the next several months, when they come back from the August recess. And, you know, the issue is what the House is going to do. The Senate has moved a bill, and the House doesn't seem very interested in their bill. And so what they're going to end up having to do during the fall is probably kick this thing into a presidential election year, which is always the year where literally nothing gets done.
Right.
So the real issue is whether the House can work its will and get a bill done this fall and then reconcile it with the Senate, get it to the president, and have it be a bill that the president would sign, which I think is still lots of questions about the ability to do it because we have a, quote, pay-for problem, as people in Washington like to call it, which is where are you going to find the revenues to actually pass an expanded program?
Oh, I know.
Not entirely clear that we're going to find that. And the Senate bill does do better than flatline funding, but only a little bit better. It's not the kind of expansive program that you and I and others know we need.
Yeah. What's the story about the hair testing provisions in the bill? I saw that press release from your organization.
It's the latest and greatest way that they want to drug test workers. You know, the drug testing debate goes back to really the 1980s when the conversation started, and now they want to be able to test workers through hair specimens. And you know, that sounds sort of kooky. Well, we actually think it not only sounds kooky, we think it is kooky because the science isn't there. So what they would essentially do would be to collect a hair specimen, and then they run that hair specimen through a lab. And the way they do it is they actually are looking for absorption of drugs in the hair.
Uh-huh.
The problem is that external contamination is very commonplace. And what that means is when someone collects hair from you, they collect something with external contaminants in it because the hair has, especially very porous hair, has the ability to absorb, right?
Right.
And so when they do detect a small amount of drug in the hair, they have no way of proving that you ingested it.
So the person that collects the hair, they could be on drugs, and that will somehow go into the hair?
Well, no, more importantly, on any given day at any moment, if someone took a hair specimen from you or anybody, they would find all sorts of things absorbed in it through the environment.
I follow you.
Yeah.
All right.
And so the problem is that they don't have any way of proving that what they found in the hair wasn't actually just absorbed.
Right.
And some drugs bond at a greater rate to darker hair or more porous hair. So there's even a discriminatory problem, which means that certain types of workers with certain hair would be more vulnerable to a positive test than others. It's absurd. And by the way, that's why our government, led by the Health and Human Services Agency, doesn't have standards here, because while I don't want to speak for them, they will tell you that this is only slightly better than voodoo science.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is no way to really reliably collect hair specimen, test it, and then determine whether somebody may be impaired because of drugs. But yeah, they jammed it in the Senate bill. We're trying to get it out in the House.
That's crazy. What happened?
It is. It's also a good example of sort of science run amok.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because there's a few people that claim they have a plan to do it, because our government hasn't really declared it that it works, leaves us very vulnerable. And our members already face incredible surveillance, right, between drug and alcohol testing and just the overall regulatory environment for them.
Yeah.
For them to have now, hair specimens is ridiculous.
I could see a lot of people shaving their heads if this goes through.
Well, it's funny. We've been talking through sort of all these various scenarios. There's some labs that take hair specimens from other parts of your body.
Oh, boy.
So there's not even standards for that.
Right. I can't even believe we're having this conversation.
I can't either. And when I heard about it, I brought my team in and I said, wait, what are we doing? And Congress is in agreement on this and they're going to put it in the bill. Yes, yes, and yes. So, yeah, we're working on it. Hopefully we can get it kicked out of the bill because we really do think the science hasn't caught up to this thing. And until it does, they shouldn't even be considering it.
Gotcha. All right, Ed, we'll button it up there. You take care, keep up the fight, and have a wonderful Labor Day holiday, all right?
Thank you. You as well. Take care.
Ed Witkin and our live line. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, Tommy Buffenbarger, the Machinist, and Len DeCosimo of the American Federation of Musicians, the local here in Cleveland, talking about the Labor Day Festival. It's all part of America's Workforce. Until tomorrow, all of you have a wonderful day.
This has been America's Workforce, heard right here on WEREAM 1490, courtesy of the American Workers Radio Network. Tune in every Monday through Friday for another hour of Worker Power with Ed Flash Ferris. America's Workforce is produced by Labor Tools, powered by BMA Media Group.